adopted adult, getting divorced is identical among non-Christian and Christian alike. I'm talking about born-again Christian and not born-again Christian, born-again people. A study also showed that most Americans reject the notion that divorce is sin. Just like an atom is a basic unit of the physical realm, the marriage between one man and one woman is a basic institution God designated. When God wants us to cherish our marriage, Satan wants to destroy it. He is trying to make people to think that somehow the marriage is getting in the people's pleasure and their freedom. So best way to get rid of this having a pleasure and freedom is get out of the marriage. Somehow they think that divorce isn't no big deal. And we see that in all over the society. From the TV sitcom to the TV commercial, you can pretty much see that. They try to portray the father as a fumbling idiot. If you notice that the TV commercial is showing more and more a father as a dumb idiot. And the mother who can do anything without the husband's help. And the kids, they get their way no matter what. And they also can treat their parents like they don't know what they're doing. Of course, the teenagers think that, right? We thought we our parents are dumb idiots until we become 20-something. All of a sudden, they become so wise. Wonder what happened. I'm finding out that in cases of the marital counseling, those who come to me and or those who came to other pastors, my peers, and they ask, try to get the green light from the pastors to get a divorce. In other words, they want the sanction from the pastor so they can have a divorce. Folks, you are not get that kind of approval from me unless you have a biblical ground. You just don't like your husband the way he yawn in the morning or with that bad breath. That doesn't give you ground for divorce. Or you don't like the way your wife is making food, a burnt toast, all of that. That doesn't give you ground for divorce. Divorce is not an answer. Somehow they think that, well, if I just jump off this ship that I'm in, I'll be better off. Guess what? When you jump off the ship, the baggage goes with you. And you get involved with somebody else, somehow that baggage is still with you. Guess who that baggage is? You. What a concept, you know. This morning, we are going to hear from the lips of Jesus that this very controversial subject is going to be very touchy this morning. So before you pick up the stone and start to throw it at me, read what Jesus says. Okay? I'm not condemning you. I'm not here as a captain condemnation. I'm going to present the word as it is. You decide. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you established the marriage between one man and one woman. We are grateful that you did, because we need each other. Let us learn from your principle and precept of marriage that we may do well in you, in our marriage. And those who are not married may learn from your word. And those who are thinking about divorce may stop. We also pray for our troops around the world. Keep them safe. And we pray for our law enforcement personnel and the firefighters around this community. Keep them safe. And most of all, we are asking you, let them come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as their Lord and Savior. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 10 in the book of Mark. Then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of Jordan, and multitude gathered to him again as he was accustomed. He taught them again. The Pharisee came and asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife, testing him? Note that, please. We're testing him. Jesus completed the ministry in the Capernaum. Would you put, there we go. Yeah, there. It must be made in China. There. There is a Capernaum, and now he's traveling down to this direction, and down here is this Jerusalem. So he's following the west side of Jordan, Transjordan area. So he's moving down toward heading to the Jerusalem. That area is ruled by the Herod Antipas. The reason why these Pharisees asked Jesus about is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? The reason is they are trying to trap him. What did Herod Antipas did? He was married to a woman, and then he divorced her so he can marry to his sister-in-law, which is no-no. And he did that. So if Jesus' answer is no, he's going against Herod's decision. If Jesus says no, this quote is done by the Moses, so he's going against Moses' word. But if he says yes, again, going back to all the way to the front of Pentateuch, that the God's word, he's going against God's word itself. So they try to trap him. This is not a question to find out his answer. This is a question to trap him. They have no other intention other than try to hurt Jesus. Verse 3, and he answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. By giving this kind of commandment to Israel, God was not endorsing nor encouraging people to divorce. This is the reason for this is because they have a tendency, the man have a tendency to divorce their wife left and right. They are trying, God is trying to make it more difficult so they cannot do that kind of thing. And God was putting the regulation and rules so they may not dump their wives at their whim. Let's go to the Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy is the fifth book from the Old Testament in the beginning. In chapter 24, verse 1 through 4. Deuteronomy is way in the front, in the fifth book from the front. When a man takes a wife, marry her, and it happens that she finds out no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her. And note that, please, some uncleanness in her. And he writes her certificate of divorce, put it in her hand, send her out of his house. When she has departed from his house and goes and become another man's wife, if let her husband detest her and writes her a certificate of divorce, put it in her hand and send her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies who took her as his wife, then her former husband who divorced her must not take her back to be his wife after she had been defiled. For that is abomination before the Lord, and you shall not bring the sin on the land which the Lord your God is giving you as inheritance. There's a two conflicting views when it comes to divorce within the Israel. It depends on how they interpret this uncleanness. When you read this in context, the main reason for uncleanness is a woman had a sex before the marriage. In other words, fornication. Rabbi Hillel has a quite lenient, he's a liberal scholar, and his interpretation is uncleanness can be anything, just about anything, including burning bagel to them. If the wife cooks food the wrong way, or if she does not dress up the way he likes, he can dismiss her. This is a complete outrageous. However, the Rabbi Shimei, he is more strict in down the court, and he's following the word itself. And he said the only way it can be she can be dismissed is a premarital sin. If the wife husband find out wife was not a virgin, he can dismiss her. And you may say, what about the adultery? Well, there won't be a problem with adultery according to Mosaic law. If the person commits adultery, they simply take the person out to the outside of the city and they stone that person to death. So, in other words, if that still happens in America, we won't have a whole lot of road to go around because there will be a rock pile all over, especially around the Hollywood area. Before we go any further, we must make it clear. Divorce is a sin. Let me repeat one more time. Divorce is a sin, but it's not an unpardonable sin. It's just another sin like you commit, I commit. It happened to be their sin. Somehow the people think that in this quote-unquote church people, those who they have a tendency to look down on those who divorce and stick their nose up like this and you divorced. And some denominations even say that if you divorce, you cannot be a pastor or elder. Where? Or some people say, well, according to 1 Timothy or Titus, the qualification is man of one wife. Yeah, one wife. That means no mistress, no wife, and a girlfriend, too. That's what it meant. If the man has one wife and that person was divorced before, that now he's loving his wife and raising family well, what's wrong with that? There's no limitation for that kind of thing. We make our own rules and regulations, look down those who went through divorce. We are willing to forgive those who murder other people, but we have a tendency to say no to went through divorce. As I said, the divorce was their sin as much as some of the sin in our lives. Back to verse 5, chapter 10 in Mark. And Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Not one flesh, please. Therefore, underline next phrase. What God has joined together, let not man separate. I'm going to read it one more time. What God has joined together, let not man separate. Our Lord Jesus goes back to which the fundamental is. He turns from this discussion from the divorce to marriage itself. As I said before, marriage is a God-established thing. Divorce is not. This is something that he allowed people to do because of hardness of heart. The Lord then took what Moses said and back to the creation. In chapter 2 and also chapter 1. God said, leave your parents and cleave to one another. Leave your parents, cleave to one another. There are some people who live still with them, hanging around with the mommy and daddy. And you're married. Your first obligation is once you're married to your spouse, not to your mommy and daddy. I'm not saying that you disrespect them. But your first obligation comes to your wife, comes to your husband. Then children, then your parents. As we just read, God created male and female. Marriage is one man, one woman, not two men, two women. I don't care what the lawmaker of Massachusetts said. And I don't know how they define that marriage. It doesn't matter. God's truth stands no matter what they say. They can twist all they want. God's truth is one man and one woman. That is marriage. The same-sex marriage is damnable. It's from the pit of hell. It's not true. It's not acceptable in God's eyes. problem with the many Christian marriage today is they tend to try to read each other's mail. What am I talking about? What mail? Somehow say, well, I read your mail according to this. You are doing this. You are supposed to do this. Let me put it this way. We know each other, what each other is supposed to do according to the scripture. Husband says, well, wife, you're supposed to submit to me and you're supposed to respect me. And wife said, well, you're supposed to, she said, you're supposed to love me as Jesus Christ loved the church. You're not doing it. Let's go back. Before we expect other person to do something for me, let's go back to the fundamental things. Some daughter has said marriage is a 50-50. That is the stupidest idea. Marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is 100-0. Oh, you mean that she give me 100% and I give 0. No, the other way around. You give up 100% not expecting anything. And you say, that is really a lousy business plan. Actually, it's not. It's a very good business plan. You say, what am I getting out of when I give everything to my wife? Or what am I getting out of if I give everything to my husband? I'm glad you asked. If you give everything to your husband, if you give everything to your wife, and she knows that you love her with all your heart and mind and soul, as Christ loved the church, what kind of woman would walk away from you? Same thing. If your wife is giving everything to her, respect you, without expecting anything back, you would cherish that woman. So instead of saying, well, give me something, I'll give you something back to you after you give me first. No wonder why the half of marriage is going down the drain. Actually, 56% of marriage is going down the drain. Unless you want to be one of those numbers, you give first. 100%. Without anything expecting. And you may say, where do you find that principle? God. While we are yet still sinners, what did he do? He sent his only begotten son so that we may have eternal life. Did God expect anything? No. As I said, it's a good business plan. If you give all your heart, mind and soul to your wife, to your husband, that person will go bend out backward, let you do what you want to do. Wow, what a concept, right? That's a proper way to do it. If you want your marriage not only to survive, but to thrive, go back to the God's original plan that you can find in God's word. Relationship between husband and wife is sacred and permanent. As we just read, don't let men separate. It is the most important, it's the most intimate union between husband and wife, and to become one flesh. To become one flesh. Because it's a realm of a physical area, it's not a soul joining together. Two bodies become one. Somehow people say, well, only way you can break this is physical. Correct. When the person said, I'm getting out of this, or I'm finding somebody else. We all heard the word middle age crisis. Yes, I'm in that area. Thank you. You don't have to remind my age. Middle age crisis. The guys use it, you can pretty much spot those people. The guys who are buttoning down, they're trying to show off their chest hair, whatever they're putting on there, and showing the gold medallion and riding sports car when they're having a problem with their bodily function. And I said, do you think you act, somebody is going to actually, you think that you are young? No, you are not young. You are old. And they said, well, I'm trying to find myself. Well, standing in front of your mirror, you'll find one ugly old man there. That is nothing more than excuse trying to get away from God's principle of marriage. Folks, when you say, yes, I do, with that word, I do, you promise in the presence of God, in presence of one another, and presence of people. When you say, I'm not going to do it anymore, then you're backing out from your word and you become a liar. Marriage is not a contract, folks. Contract, you can be mutually agree and then walk out. Marriage is covenant. It's a far more important than contract. Divorce might be illegal in the law of the land, but in God's eyes, when the person does not have a biblical ground to divorce, that is not right in the God's sight. That practice, commitment, love one another, and remain true to each other. Too many people view the divorce as, well, I can get rid of this person. No. The bond between husband and wife should be stronger than bond between parents and children, especially in the mixed marriage. The marriage bond should be stronger than blood bond. I have a few things written up here for the special for those who are going through the mixed child discipline issue in a mixed marriage. Number one, never argue in front of children. Whether you it's a mixed marriage or not, never argue in front of children. They will use it to separate you. They will use it to their advantage. Second one, two must be in agreement with child discipline. Otherwise, you have a major problem. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Third, biological parents of child must administer discipline to the child. If this is a mixed marriage, the last thing that child has in mind is being disciplined by somebody who got into their family. Fourth, the last but not least, you must put your spouse before your own child. Remember, marriage bond should be stronger than bond between you and your child. Let's go back to the word. Verse 10. In the house, his disciple also asked him again about the same matter. So he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorce her husband and marry another, she commit adultery. This is the strongest statement against a divorce that is found in the scripture. Mosaic system, as I said before, they took care of the adulterers and adulterer. That you can be found in Deuteronomy chapter 22. But today, we don't do that kind of thing. Some might have gone through a divorce after you got saved. And you knew God says no divorce. And God said in Malachi, I hate divorce. But you went through anyway because you couldn't stand this guy's side. And you might have married the most horrible guy in the world. You might marry the most horrible woman in the world. But if that person did not commit adultery, you don't have ground to divorce. But you did it anyway. Let's say you did it. There's somebody in this room. But if you come to God, ask God to forgive you, and remain in your current marriage, and be faithful to that person, be faithful to the word, you're fine. That sin's been forgiven. Just like any other sin that we go through. As I said before, divorce is not an unpardonable sin. Let me repeat it one more time so that nobody walk out the door and feel like they are condemned. If you ask God to forgive you for what you've done, that's done. Don't try to remind him because he said, I don't remember what you've done. Your sins have been forgiven. Be faithful to your spouse, the current one, and be the best husband or best wife you can be, according to God's way. Don't let anyone condemn you because what you have done. Again, your sin is no different than any other people's sin. One more thing. If you are thinking about going through a divorce, even though you do not have a biblical ground, stop. Because you are sinning. And you might say, well, my husband beat me up. Come tell me. The reason why that person is beating you up because that person looking for a sparring partner, I'll be his sparring partner. I'll be gladly take on that person. Anyone who beat up his wife is a coward. Because that person think that my wife will not hit me back. Why don't you pick on your own side? Somebody can hit you back. Do not hit woman. And you, going back to divorce, you're thinking about divorce. Don't. It's a sin against God, and you will make a lasting scar on your kids. Let's go to verse 13. When they brought the little children to me, that he might touch them, but the disciple rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. It was normal customary things for the parents to bring the child, their children, to the rabbi so the rabbi can bless them. What was the reason why these disciples of Jesus, who the kind of rebuked the parents from bringing the children? Probably they were thinking that, well, we are the bodyguard, so we have to take care of our master, trying to do a female favor. The Lord was actually angry with them and rebuked the disciple openly, and also he announced them, the children is a better example of the kingdom people. What does it mean? Why did he say that children would be the better example for the to enter into the kingdom? Because children has a simple concept. If somebody tells their child was, if the child was told by somebody, they believe. They have a complete dependency and this receptivity and acceptance of themselves and their position in their lives. We have a puny brain in our head and come up with logic that does not make sense when it comes to believing God. We come up with that cannot happen. How can God create the entire universe with his word? Because we're comparing ourselves with a God. God is God. We are not. But when you tell children God created the entire universe, guess what? They believe. Because they have a simple mind. God wants us to believe. God wants us to be like him when it comes to believing, childlike. But he doesn't want to act like a childish. Let's not come up with the reason and rhymes that why we would not believe God. I asked you to underline verse 14. I didn't ask you. Now I'm asking you. Underline verse 14. Some people take this scripture reference as to challenge the church who asked the parents to leave your children in the Sunday school instead of in the sanctuary. This is where the Calvary Chapel stands. If you like to bring your child into the sanctuary, that's fine. But you're going to do more favor for that child and make that child come to know Jesus Christ if that child stay in the Sunday school and at their age group. So they can be taught and get to know the Word of God in their way, with their attention span. You can sit on there for 30 minutes, but children cannot. So we have a facility, we have a classroom for children to learn in their level. It's more like bringing them too close to Jesus at their level, not our way, which makes more sense. Let's make an application. Number one, obeying God's word does not limit us in coming to church and reading the Bible. It goes into our daily lives, including marriage. You just heard a very difficult word. If you're thinking about divorce, stop. Make that marriage working. If you're divorced and you found somebody and you're married, stay in that marriage. Be faithful to one another. Be faithful to the word. You'll be blessed. And you're divorced. You're alone. Maybe you can work the marriage back again. I've seen that. And God bless their marriage. Second application. God wants us to be like, to be childlike in believing in Him, not acting childish. There's a tremendous difference between childlike and childish. Let's stand up and pray.